What it means is like this. What it means is that God made man yasha means straight, in line with his nature. What it means to say is that God created Adam originally. When it says, what Rashi means before Chava, it means when in his original state, when he was totally independent. But apparently he was unable to exist that way, because Latov HaYasad Mavada. But in the original state, he was perfect. What does it mean that he was perfect? What it means is, I think it has an important meaning for us as well, even though we live after that time. What it means is an important concept. What it means is that the state of man, you see, the natural state of man, every person is looking for what's natural. What is the natural state of man? The natural state of man is Adam Kodem Achet. That's his natural state. You see? The best state for him to function in is that state. Now, we don't have that state anymore, so you might say, what's the sense of talking about it? But the truth of the matter is, we do have that state. When is that state? That state takes place every time we're involved in learning. Every time a person is involved in Chochmas HaTorah, every time a person is involved in learning, he brings back that state. And that is the perfect state of mind. That is the healthy state of mind for man. You see, as I mentioned many times, every animal lives in its perfect state because of its nature. Man doesn't have that situation. Man doesn't have the situation in terms of, as a phenomena, as a permanent phenomena, he doesn't have that situation. But he has the perfect state as a state. You see? In other words, he can exist perfectly in a certain state. When he's in that state, then he's natural. Then he's in his natural in his natural framework. Man does not have a natural state inherent. He can never inherently be natural. But when is he living according to his natural way? When he's in the state of thought. That is the healthy state of man. That's the natural state of man. That's why we say in Avos Olam, Kihem Chayenu V'Aruch Yameinu. It's not a metaphor. Kihem Chayenu isn't Kihem Chayenu. This is our life. It's not an emotional statement. Not an emotional statement. Kihem Chayenu means this is our life. It means when we are involved in thought, when we're involved in learning, that is our natural life. Then we are living, because then we're in life. Then our nature is a totally healthy one. The healthy state for man is the state of learning. That is the healthy state. Unfortunately, man is such a creature that he can't always be involved in that state. But when he's involved in that state, that's when he's normal. That's the normal state for man. You see, we spoke about the fact that there's particular repressions, which the psychologist treats, and then there's repressions of the species. The species is not normal. What the psychologist calls normal is really just to be normal in terms of the species. But the species itself has repressions, and that's a sixth state. Where is the healthy state, the ultimate healthy state for the species? That's the state when the person is involved in learning. That state of mind that the person is in when he's involved in thought, that is the healthy psychological state. And that's why I think I mentioned once before that the Zvonigoyen, they say over from the Zvonigoyen, that he gave advice. He said if a person has to make a decision, he doesn't know what decision to make, but what he should do is he should learn Torah Lashma. Or at least, he says, what he considers Torah Lashma. I mean, the highest possible level that he has. And then, after he's involved in learning, he should think about the problem and make a decision. What kind of advice is that? It sounds like a mystical advice. No, the advice is good advice. Because what it means is that when a person's involved in learning, his whole nature changes. His whole makeup changes. The energies of his psyche are completely changed, where the energies are diverted to. And then he's normal. That's when he's an Adam. That's Adam Kodem Achet. You see? In that state of mind, he's capable of making the best decision. So then, immediately, after he learns, There's still a carryover. After a person learns, the person, the one that learns, notices that after you finish learning, you're still in a certain state of mind. That's the best state of mind. Then he should make his decision, because then his emotions he's not overpowered by his compulsions at that time. The compulsions don't have the power over him. Then he's in normal state, and that's when he's best capable of rendering a proper decision. Okay. I'll stop there. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. The Rebbe may mention that's why Ein Omdin L'Shpal on the Tefillah V'Torah, because Tefillah also can be based on compulsions. Tefillah can be based on compulsions, nonsensical emotions. But the Tefillah V'Torah places the person in the true perspective. So you might say we've discovered the normal man. But it's not a normal man in the ordinary sense. It's a normal man in terms of the state. When is man insane? The moment he stops lying.
That's true, that's why you go to the first step. That's not the truth. Because we pass it.
In line with the true values, it doesn't. It shouldn't be distracting.
That's why Enom must follow the terms of the Tefillah. Tefillah also can be based on compulsions.
This is right.
Ignorance and compulsions.
Right.
Nonsensical emotions.
Right.
The Divrei Torah places the person in the deepest.
Then
he
gets the full
Tefillah. This is January 10th. January 11th. It's a Tainus, Yom Tainus, Sarbat Tevis. And we're going to have a special piece on
Titus. We mentioned last week, speaking about the definition of evil. The cause of evil. I want to make that point clear. Somebody asked me, is it a contradiction to what we said previously? Because we defined evil as the desire for man to change reality, to conform to his inner emotions, to his inner emotional satisfaction. That's the definition of evil. And last week you said that Tehelos gave the rationale of evil. And we said the rationale of evil was the depletion of the ego. The Shai does is his emotions conform to reality, conform to himself. Right. And the Russia tries to take reality and bend it, twist it, like a Hitler tries to twist reality so that to conform to his egomania. Okay? That's basically what it is. Like, Russia tries to have reality conform to his egomania, and the Tzaddik, on the contrary, is the one that causes his own emotions to conform and to be happy with the reality that God placed before him. But that's the definition. That's the definition of evil. Yeah, but that's not what God should do. He wants to understand, like a Talmud and a Rav. Because to us it sounds strange, because we, even though our Kadosh Baruch Hu is our Rebbe, but it's in a more indirect way. The Avraham Avinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu was closer as a Rebbe, and the Avos and Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to God like Talmud would speak to the Rebbe. So they questioned and they asked. That's a human being has a right to do that. But that doesn't mean that he wishes to simply change the reality. He wishes to understand the reality. So that's the difference. That's the definition of good and evil. So what Shlomo Melech Haveir was talking about was the depletion of the human ego, and that evil stems from the fact that man is caught up in a very powerful force which has as its final objective the inflation of the depleted ego. Over there he's talking about the cause of evil. The cause and the definition are two different things. So the cause of evil is the desire on the part of man to inflate his ego. And this results in evil. The definition of evil is a different thing. They both go hand in hand. The cause is that he wishes to his ego is depleted and he wishes to reinflate it. How does he reinflate it? He reinflates it by attempting to have reality change, conform to his own desires, his own emotional desires. So you have to distinguish between the cause and the definition. Two different phenomena. Okay, at any rate, if a person does good to inflate his ego, it's also. Okay. You have to get a Mishu Rochel Zvav over here?
Is that science problem?
You're right. As a matter of fact, it's a halacha. As a matter of fact, it's a halacha with regard to tainus. The halacha is that a person, if a tzara occurs to a person, maybe at the end of the show, I would like to talk a little bit about the philosophy of tainus. But if a person is in a situation where it is an ace tzara for him, something bad occurs, so he has a chola, and he's a chola, or somebody in the family is a chola, or some other type of evil that befalls him. So the halacha is, he's mechuyav to fast. That's the Rambam. Kishem shatzibur misanam al tarasam, kacha yochid misan al tarasam. So yochid is mechuyav to fast to be yoshev betainus if something befalls him, which he considers to be not a good. It's in a parak alpha lacha test. Kishem shatzibur misanam al tarasam, kacha yochid misan al tarasam. Ketzer, arei shay lo chola. He was sick, or somebody in his family was sick. Otoa b'midbar, osu v'esasurim, lost or is in prison. Yeshlo v'sanesolo v'levakish lachim v'tzilosa. Okay? So the halacha is it's a halacha of being misana on a tzor. Now, the halacha is mentioned in Kaf Kuf Samach Vav. Ha-mis'ane, u'mefarsim atzmo l'acherim, l'shtabeach shu misana, u'nenesh atach. That a person who does fast, and he tells others that he's fasting, So he's punished for that. He's nanesh al kach. Why? Because then he's using righteousness as a means to inflate his ego. That is the reason why he's making use of that. Begging him, asking him, insisting that he eat, so he's a lot of crazy in the usual time. So then he's not doing it for the purpose of for the purpose of showing off, and he's doing it because he wants to avoid a problem. But it's a nisa. That's all. Okay. At any rate, I want to mention. Last week we mentioned that we said that the concept of advertisement basically appeals to the ego, but it's not just advertisement. It extends to many areas. I mean, even religious leaders use as their ploy, they use the depletion of the ego, the weakness of the human ego. They cater to the human ego, and they cause people to feel that they're inferior unless they accept their own brand of religious idea. And all the evangelists and these television shows, radio shows, where these preachers speak to the people, and basically the method that they're using is depletion of the ego, depleted ego. They're catering to the depleted ego, and that's why they have such a great response. But yeah, this never worked that way. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the greatest leader, had so many problems, basically. You take a look, people looking in the Torah, and they see that why did he get Moshe Rabbeinu? People didn't listen to him again and again. And you wonder, you say, if we were there, I mean, we certainly would have been better than the people of the Torah's depiction. But the answer is because Yadus does not employ such a method. Yadus does not influence people through the methods of the depletion of the ego. And that's why the response that Moshe Rabbeinu had was not the one that one would think would be appropriate for Moshe Rabbeinu. But the answer is because we're not used to such a situation. We're not used to such a situation. The method of influence of Yadus was simply through ideas, through Chochmah. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't even a good speaker. That's why he didn't want to assume the position, because he knew he didn't have any power of oratory, and he was only capable of influencing through ideas. And that's the pitfall. If one influences through emotions, so then he can have a tremendous response. People will see, people will follow a certain individual, they'll do anything for that individual, and these people have tremendous power. But the power that they have is based upon the fact that the followers have depleted egos, and they cater to that depletion of the ego. But Yadus does not cater to that. Yadus only works with ideas and does not try to reduce a person in stature in his own eyes, so that he feels he has to follow simply in order to have an emotional satisfaction that he can be happy with himself. He can be happy with his ego. That's not influence. Yadus doesn't offer such type of influence. So even if we could do things, even if it would seem that even if we could do things to improve people, we are not permitted to use such methods. Not because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't seem to use such methods. And that's why he had so many difficulties. Really, it's a pasuk in Kehelas also. Pasuk in Kehelas Tes Yudzayin, where it says, Divrei Chachomim Benachas Nishmoim. That the words of the wise are listened to as nachas. Nachas means quietly, with ease. Mizakas Moshel Baksilim. The fools influence with zaka, screaming, shouting, ranting. This is the influence of the emotions. But the Chacham only influences, it's a very quiet influence. It's just the influence, he creates certain spheres in which people, certain ideas where people are drawn to naturally, but not through any emotional method. And it's interesting, Rashi says on that pasuk, the Divrei Chacham Benachas Nishmoim, so Rashi says, Moshe Niftar, Zeh Kama Shana, Moshe Rabbeinu was Niftar for many years, Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, Vadayim Zerosov Mikubolam Al Yisrael. And his Zeros are still accepted by the Jewish nation. They still keep all the laws that he gave to Klal Yisrael. And I think I once I mentioned it that when they asked Albert Einstein who he'd like to meet after his death, so he said he'd like to meet Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he'd like to ask him if he thought that his laws would still be kept for so many years. The amazing thing is Machavim to a Chazal. I mean, I didn't realize it, but it's a Chazal. It's a Rashi right on the pasuk. What is the reason why? It's an astonishing fact. But the answer is what the pasuk says. The answer is because other leaders only influence through emotions. And the influence through emotions is a very powerful one at the time. But then later it dissipates. Years later it dissipates because there's nothing real there. It's just an emotional reaction of the people. And those people had an emotional reaction, and generations later don't have an emotional reaction. But where the influence is through ideas, then on the contrary, the immediate people who are affected, it doesn't have such a powerful effect on them. Because you're not working with their emotions, you're working with the ideas. But it's something which is permanent, which lasts, in another respect, it is the real permanence. Because the ideas are the most, underneath, ultimately the ideas are the most powerful influence. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu exists, still exists today. The amazing Chazal.
The other leaders, the next generation, always the previous them.
The emotional, it's emotional. Yes, that's true. It's gone. Right, that's true. Yes.
Is that the idea by Yom Eliyahu? When Hashem says, well, Barak, I don't care what you said, he
called him Odaka.
That was why he was bothered by this whole thing. He wore the
Sesame. Right.
The
guy had a different manifestation of the child. Right. Right. Makes sense, that's the interpretation, yeah.
Because he was bothered by the whole thing, he was accepted.
They weren't accepted, yeah.
Because his wife, and it's not going to be the meeting, so he's
right.
The
he's called the Maladaka.
Called
the
Maladaka.
Yeah, Avery? Well, I mean,
The
Sol Salanta was not that kind of movement. The original Muslim movement of Sol Salanta was really an intellectual approach. It was a psychological approach. But the Sol Salanta was a great thinker, and his opinion was that he was a thinker. He studied psychology, psychology of the time. And his approach was totally an intellectual approach. It was not a Salanta's approach. The real Musa approach, the Salanta's approach, was a very intellectual approach. It wasn't an approach of emotions. It's true that it did encompass emotions, but the use of the emotions was explained in a rational way. In other words, what he was saying was that one must work with his emotions in a certain manner. He had a certain prescription for working with emotions. That was an intellectual type of a thing. It was not simply an emotional power over the people. It never was. It wasn't that way. It was the Talmud Chacham. The real Musa started. The Shittas of Musa started among the Chachmei Yisrael. Not all the Chachmei Yisrael. The big machlokes. A lot of Chachmei Yisrael were against the whole Shittas. Chaim Bristol was one of the ones that was against it. But those who believed in it, they thought it was correct. It was an intellectual debate whether this is the proper thing or not. It was not an emotional thing. It wasn't Marshal thing. Later, different branches of Musa started to work with different methods that were completely emotional, but that wasn't the original approach. That wasn't just to instill fear in people and different things. And, a certain degree, I mean, you know, is necessary to work with Amon's emotions, but that's not the ultimate. Unfortunately, a lot of schools of Musa, that became the ultimate. That became the ultimate. But that's not really. But even then, even those schools of Musa, which became the ultimate, it was never the power of a person. There were leaders. I mean, of course, there always have to be leaders. The Rambam was a great leader. But the method that he used, the method that the leaders used, was not a method where it was tied emotionally, where the whole thing was emotionally dependent on the leader. It was an approach in which they sought to bring certain emotions in line so that they should have a certain recognition. But it wasn't a depletion of the ego process. And I mean, it wasn't the main sheet of some of it. Yes. Studies in the Nevi'im. In studies in the Nevi'im, we discover that the Nevi'im are really what they say is ideas. I mean, you look at the Nevi'im, you have to learn the Nevi'im. You see, the Nevi'im really, throughout the Nevi'im, there's concepts that the Nevi'im try to bring to the people. As a matter of fact, the fact that the Nevi'im always mentioned rationality to the people, that the people are irrational, that's the biggest sin, is the fact that they're irrational. That's really the biggest fate. That you see already is not working with simply with an ego depletion. But whenever you have a movement which wants to control a person and doesn't permit them, on the contrary, those movements don't encourage thinking. They don't encourage any thought. That basically is how you can tell. A movement which in Nevi'im influence people by encouraging them to think and to improve their minds. And the critique against the Jews was that they weren't thoughtful people. But the movements that work with emotions and play on a person's ego depletion are really movements which don't encourage thought, don't encourage any thinking. So that's basically the mark which distinguishes the two. The Yahadus encourages the person to think. So that means it gives him strength. It tells him he's a bar hochi of das, that he should use the das that he has. But the movements that don't want that want to control the people, they always tell them on the contrary. They should suspend their thinking process. They should simply follow a certain path based upon emotion. That's the movements that they utilize the ego depletion. Yes. I never had any way they should hang up a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu or a picture of other leaders. I mean, certainly not a part of. I never seen a Chazal, ever heard of Chazal having pictures or things like that. I mean, it would seem that it's not something that if it was a method of influence, that's a legitimate one. I mean, you always have to know where you draw the line. A certain amount of emotions a person has to have. Where you draw the line. But I've never seen anywhere where Chazal mentioned that they had pictures of people. It would seem that it's not really a part of our. It's a big danger in something like that. Big danger in something like that. But then you. Danger of. What? Yeah, but that's something else. The most detail means it's an internal phenomenon. That, yes, the most detail is an internal phenomenon. But to place a picture of someone, it would seem that such a thing is a dangerous type of thing to do. Because you become, in other words, the individual becomes power in the person. It relates to the person. All our emotions have to relate to God, not to lo risum kol tumuna. Lo risum kol tumuna. Well, we can call tomorrow. Since the depletion of the ego is something which is at the root of, in a causative sense, at the root of human evil. So the question is, what about the fact that where the Rambam describes when a person is makar chachmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his ego is totally depleted?
That's the description. So what do you have to say about that? Is that a contradiction to what we're saying? You're saying that man's ego is totally depleted, and he recognizes that Chachmas Hashem Shem L'Arach and L'Kates. So it seems that it does work with a method of ego depletion. What do you say? Attempting to resuscitate his ego in the same manner that it suffered depletion. In the case where a person recognizes Chachmas Hashem, on the contrary, he's content with his depleted ego. And all his energies are diverted from the ego, they're diverted towards appreciation of Chachmas Hashem. That is the perfect state. That's the perfect state. That's where the ego depletion doesn't disturb him. On the contrary, he's happy with that situation. All his energies are being satisfied by the perception of God's wisdom. That is the perfect state. The person with depleted ego is in pain and tries to inflate his ego through emotional sources, which want to bring satisfaction to and remove the pain of the depleted ego. Over here, on the contrary, he's happy with the state of the ego depletion, because all his energies are diverted towards the appreciation of Chachmas Hashem. That is the perfect state. That's the difference. Okay. Any questions? In me a day a pesha devil. Who understands the interpretation of a problem, of a understanding of a phenomenon? Chachmas adam tarir ponov. The wisdom of a man lights up his face. Va'oz ponov yeshina. And the strength over here, ponov means, ponov over here really doesn't mean his face, but it means his personality. His personality. So the chachma of a person lights up his personality, and the strength of his personality is different. It means that the chacham is a totally different individual, which means to say that chachmas adam torah ponov means that he's very vibrant. He's very vibrant, but his vibrance comes from the inner attachment to knowledge. You see people that get very excited about things, but basically the excitement they have is an excitement of the emotions. Different kind of a totally different kind of phenomenon. And the same thing with confidence. People who are confident have a certain emotional confidence. It's an egoistic confidence. That's a confidence that's based on nothing. It's just based on his own emotions. But the confidence of the chacham is different. The Chacham's confidence comes from knowledge and from a quiet appreciation of the fact that he knows what the reality is. It's a different kind of a different kind of security, a different kind of confidence. So that people, when people say that, people always say that you have to have, people always say that a person has to have ego strength. People always recommend a person has to have ego strength. They try to strengthen their ego. But basically, that strengthening of the ego is, they say you have to be confident about the future. But the point is that the person doesn't have to be confident about something that he knows. For instance, a person knows he's going to eat breakfast, he doesn't have to be confident about eating breakfast. So when a person has knowledge, there's no need for the emotional confidence. The emotional confidence is really based on nothing. It's just something which a person attempts to bring about in himself, a state which has no real basis. True confidence is really the confidence of the Chacham, because it's based upon knowledge. When a person has knowledge, he doesn't need emotional confidence. The person knows exactly what is what the reality is, so there's no need for the emotional confidence. That's what it means, Vos Ponav Yeshina. Vos Ponav Yeshina means the confidence of the Chacham is a different type of confidence. It's not based upon any emotions, it's based upon the fact that he knows what reality is. The reality principle gives him confidence. It's a totally different state of mind. Totally different state of mind. The confidence of the fool is based upon his emotions. And that's why the fool's confidence is often in jeopardy. Because when things don't take place according to the way he imagines, then his ego gets broken. So then he feels... See, the fool only wants to rectify the symptoms. He doesn't realize that what he has to rectify is the cause. The symptoms is an uncomfortable state of... of a broken ego. But to remove that state, it's not the proper manner just to try to create in yourself an artificial sense of confidence based on nothing. The only true confidence is confidence which is based upon knowledge. That's Yo's point of view, Yishuna. So the Chacham is totally different insofar as what excites him, the life inside the Chacham, what makes him, what gives him his energies, and also insofar as his confidence is concerned. His whole personality is different. That's why he says, Mi ke Chacham, Mi Yedea Pesha Dola. Totally different phenomena. What interests him, what gives him excitement, what gives him enjoyment, the energies and the happiness and the satisfaction he has that are part of his personality and not from the emotional, temporal type of situations which change in a person's life, in which he has his ups and downs, but on the contrary, it's a constancy. It's a constancy. Therefore, he's always in a state of tarapanov. And his confidence is not one which goes up and down. But rather, it's a steady state, because it stems from knowledge. Completely different personality. The world today is looking completely in the wrong direction, because what they attempt to do is just to rectify the symptoms. And all the psychologies which they give are just an attempt to make a person happy for no reason at all, or just to instill a certain happiness in them. Like a nonsensical, as if that's the good, and as if that's going to last, for the next pitfall. It obviously is it's subject to doom, but the philosophy is that if you think that you're going to succeed for some nonsensical reason, then you're going to feel confident. Of course, when you don't succeed, so then you have to think again the next time you're going to succeed for no nonsensical reason. But if a person can do that, first of all, it's impossible for a person to do it because his rationality tells him that there's no basis for it, number one. And two, if he really could do that, he'd be in serious trouble, because then he'd be denying reality altogether. I wouldn't recommend he denies reality when it comes to ascertaining what's involved in his next move. Over there, they say no. He has to think very carefully. But over here, it's all right to be rational. So contradiction is not really a principle which is valued. That's the life of the fool. But the Chacham is one who is whose life is in a constant. That's what the Rambam talks about when he says that the Chacham is on an even keel. The Chacham doesn't have any ups and downs. Chacham is always on an even keel. An even keel is based upon the fact that everything he does is based upon his knowledge. Okay, that's the puzzle. Yes, big issue out of this. Made a whole philosophy out of this. That's pragmatism. Pragmatism. Basically, his argument is like this. The argument of philosophy is as follows. The argument is that... His argument is that if a person is caught on a mountainside and he has to make a leap, a dangerous leap to safety. So he says, so his argument is like this. His argument is, now if he's going to be rational at that moment, so he'll tell himself, I could be successful in my leap, I could not be successful in my leap. So therefore, he will not be able to make the leap. Because a person can only make the leap if he thinks he's going to make it. So he says, so you see from this that in order for a person to do the action, he has to assume something which is not true, namely that he's definitely going to make it. So therefore, excuse me. What? Yeah, well, that's the situation of war. Same situation. Person is going out to war. So if he thinks of the possibility he's going to get killed, so then he can't fight. So the only thing he has to do is think that nothing's going to happen to him. I remember that I think it was Moshe Dayan. I think I've mentioned this story. Moshe Dayan, when he went to Vietnam. So first he was afraid. His friend's going to get killed. Then he made up his mind that he's not going to get killed. And then he wasn't afraid anymore. Right, you see? They took him to Vietnam, I think, and want them to study the tour, because he was such a great general, they thought that he was going to work out something really good. That was what? Yeah. So he wants to show that there's no such thing, that truth doesn't really matter. But what matters is that you have to fool yourself at certain times. Of course, if that's the truth of the situation, then you're following truth again. But anyways, but at any rate, This is his argument. His argument, that's his case. When a man is stuck on the side of a cliff, he has to make the jump. So what is he supposed to think? Be realistic, or should he be emotional about it? That's his argument. That's the question he asked. Yes? The thing that's wrong with that argument is, that it doesn't recognize that there's two parts to the human mind, two separate parts. There's the reality principle, which recognizes what reality is, and then there's the emotional state. There's the emotional state. It's of course the reality principle. The reality principle has to it shouldn't be suspended. The person should recognize that he may die in war. The proof of the matter is that if a person doesn't recognize he's going to die in war, he's at greatest danger of dying. Because anyone that feels he's simply he's impervious to danger, then he's invulnerable, then that person will is more in danger of dying. So invulnerability, the sense of invulnerability, has been the cause of many people's death. So you see that denying the rational faculty will, on the contrary, will cause him to be in greater danger. So the point, so therefore you have a problem. Even if you're going to follow that plan of fooling yourself, you're going to find that if you ultimately follow that plan, it's going to result in your destruction. So there seems to be no solution. I mean, I should follow it somewhat. I mean, what is it? One do I follow, one don't I? But the answer is that there are two parts of the human mind. One part of the human mind is recognizes the reality. The reality must be recognized. If reality isn't recognized, then he can't be in battle properly. Because he's going to assume nothing's going to happen to him. So he must recognize the reality that he's in danger and that he may die. The only thing is that he can't allow the emotional affect. See, an idea has a certain emotional affect. There's the idea, and then there's an emotional affect that it has. What he should try to do is to try to prevent the affect from taking place. He has to control his emotions so that the emotional affect of death doesn't take place. You see? That's basically that's the rational thing. The man on the side of the cliff shouldn't deny the idea that he might miss. If he really thinks he's not going to miss, he's just going to leap at random or fall off the cliff. You see? So that's not the solution. What James didn't recognize is that there's two different parts to the mind. One part of the mind has to make a rational assessment. Now, of course, in the rational assessment, there's the possibility of dying. Now, it's not the possibility of dying that's harmful to the person. The knowledge of that possibility is not the harmful thing that will prevent them from leaping. The harmful thing is the emotional affect of death that will prevent them from leaping. If he feels the emotional impact of dying, then he'll get frozen with the idea of death. But insofar as that impact doesn't take place, as the affect doesn't come into place, then he will leap, because since there's a chance of life, it makes sense that he should strive as much as he can to maintain his life. So the mistake, it's a subtle error. He built the whole philosophy on this, but it's a subtle error. It's a mistake. The mistake is he didn't differentiate between the different parts of the human mind. So rationality is always in place. But emotional affect is something which must be controlled in many situations. Otherwise, he's going to be destroyed. He'll be destroyed. See, he assumed that if he accepts the possibility of death, then he can't make the leap. No, it's not the acceptance of the possibility that prevents him from making the leap. The emotional affect which prevents him from making the leap. He's overcome by the emotions of that possibility. So it's the emotions that must be under control. And the same thing in battle. In battle, naturally, if a person has a chance to live, he will always try to be successful, will try to be victorious. The fact that he may die doesn't prevent him from being victorious. It's the affect of the possibility of death that prevents him, that makes him freeze. So he has to have control of the emotions that affect should not take hold of his whole being. But it's not the possibility of death. The possibility of death is there. That doesn't prevent him from acting. On the contrary, the possibility of death makes him act properly, because he can assess the possibility in the different situations and where the possibility is greater and lesser, and try to keep himself in a state where he minimizes the probability of his own death and act rationally. It's the affect that must be removed. You see, he didn't distinguish. He thought that once he assumed he might die, that's really the same thing as the affect. It's not the same thing as the affect. It's two different things.
That's insane. This is a shallow philosophy. It's a shallow philosophy. Yes?
Didn't you hear on the radio from this show about one of the heroes in Salami who went up
to the... It's for me to do. Of course, there are always people that are crazy that perform heroic deeds. But those people, even though they... So it doesn't appear we should be condemned, because based upon the way the act...
Right.
Right.
Well,
you're not going to be successful, so you got to go according to Moses. You have no other choice. Yeah.
The point is
that would be destroying the reality principle. He knows he may die,
right.
But the only thing is that he knows that right now the most beneficial action for him is to do this and this action, because that's the best chance for his life. In other words, the best chance for him to live is to do this action, even though the action may involve danger. But that's the best thing to do, because on the whole, he will be able to
people who think about when they said something about death, the possibility
it turns back, they kill him. Because tchilas nechilas nisa. So they don't want him to destroy the other, that's basically what it is. But his own personal reason why he's afraid, I mean, it could be Yom HaFeit, but obviously there's not the... It's second others. Yeah. Okay. I want to say something about Tainus a little bit today. Because today we're fasting, and it's a good idea to have some concept about what the nature of Tainus is. To take the Rambam, beginning of Hilchos Tainus. Okay? Look at that. Change tape or leave on it? Because for any tzara, any trouble that befalls the tzibur, the congregation, Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Al atzar atzoreshem, Varias machatotras. Because of the enemy that torments you, you should sound the chatotras. Kloma, kol dovo sheyetza lachem. Anything which disturbs you, which bothers you, which affects you. Kigun batzores, the dever, the arbe, kiyetza behen, famine, other difficulties. Zaku aleihem. You should call forth about them. Roril, and sound the trumpets. And Ram says like this. Ram says, that's Allah. That's the Allah. And in Beis he says, the dovar zeh midarkei atshuva. And the reason for this is because this is one of the methods, one of the ways of repentance. Shebizman shetavo tzara. Whenever a calamity occurs, v'yizaku aleha, and they'll cry about it, v'yariyu, and they'll sound the trumpets, Yedu akol, everyone will know, shebeglau ma'aseyim horoim hu ra lahem, as because of their evil actions that this befell them. Kakosov, avonaseichem hitu v'gama. V'zeh sheyigrom lohosir atzom aleyem, and this will cause the tzora to be removed from them. Avalim lo yizaku v'lo yariyu, but let's say they don't cry forth, and they don't sound the trumpets, but they'll say that this occurred because of natural occurrences. And this tzara has just happened to be that way. It's part of the laws of nature. This manner is a manner of hardness, achzorius, coarseness, insensitivity. The goremes lam lidoveg b'maasei maroim, and it causes them to be attached to their evil ways. The tosif atzora tzoras acheras, and this tzora will bring on more, greater difficulties. Hu shekosuv b'torah, that's what the Torah says, v'alachtem imi b'keri, v'alachti gamani imochem b'chamas keri. Kloma, what it means is, that if you walk with me, carry means happening, you just consider all the events around you as just being a happening, then I will walk with you with the anger of such a philosophy.
Klomar, kashavi aleichem tzara kadesha teshuva, when I bring a tzara upon you in order that you should repent. And tomu shehi keri, if you're going to say that it is that it just happened, it's just happening, osif lachem chamas osif keri. Then I'll add to you, I'll add more of the anger, so to speak, because of your way, your additional evil that you've employed this type of a philosophy. You've adopted this kind of a way of thinking. Okay, that's the Rambam.
It's all about
Chol, and it's not only about Chol also, the Rambam says. Kishem she'atzibo mis'anem al tzarasan, kach hayochid mis'an al tzarasan. Just like the tzibo has to fast, a yochid, if some evil befalls him, he has to fast also. He also has to be yochid. It's halacha, according to Rambam, it's halacha, it's midaraisa, it's halacha midaraisa. Halacha midaraisa. What? It would seem the same thing. Kishem, the Ram says Kishem, and he's exactly identical. Exactly identical. Kishem Shatsid Nisanam al Sarasan, Kachayachid Nisanam al Sarasan. Kachayachid best is where the Sarah that can be changed, undone. You see? But an oval looks all over. That's it. You can't do anything about it. It's just novellas. Then the Tzara came already. Then Zavellas. Before the Tzara comes, while there's still a chance for it to be changed, then you're chayiv in Zaka. Then you're chayiv in Zaka and you're chayiv in Chatzaychus. But after the Tzara passes, if it passes, fine. But if it actually takes place, then it's Zavellas. Then it's Zavellas. Then it's Zavellas. Two states. It's an interesting thing. So what's difficult about the Rambam? What's difficult about the Rambam? Okay, you've asked me a philosophical question. That the since we're against what the Rambam says in the Mara, that the Yachid is not always under the Ashgacha directly. Okay, by the Tzibor you don't have any Kasha, because by the Tzibor you could say that Tzibor is always under the Ashgacha. That the since we're against what the Rambam says in the Mara, that the Yachid is not always under the Ashgacha directly. Okay, by the Tzibor you don't have any Kasha, but by the Tzibor you could say that Tzibor is always under the Ashgacha. Tzibor is always under the Ashgacha, but the Yachid not. Yeah, but it's an interesting thing. What's interesting about the Rambam? There's two points that are interesting in the Rambam. Yes? You see, when the Rambam says, take the second question first. Rambam says, Avolim lo yizeku v'lo yariyu, elyom u'dovah zen minigah olam yirelonu, v'tzorah zu nikro nikris. Right? So what should the Rambam say after that? The Rambam should say, they won't be helped. Right? But what should he say about that philosophy? He should say, Harezu sheker. Harezu sheker, Vareza docha. Vareza kofa ba'ash docha. Harezu sheker, Vareza kofa ba'ash dochosa shalabore. And it's considered an apikaris. The Ram doesn't say that. The Ram says, Harezu derech achzorius. The goremes lohem lidovek v'maaseyim aloyim. Interesting expression. What do you mean is derech achzorius? It's false. Sheker. What do you mean is derech achzorius? The goremes lohem lidovek v'maaseyim aloyim. The tosef atzor atzoros acheros. Okay? But then he says, Vishakas v'hev alachim midikarachim Kolomah kishavi lechem tzar kadesha teshuvu and tamar shi keri osif lechem chamas osif keri. Yeah. It would seem from the last part, it seems like a contradiction there, because the last part of Ram says, since you say it is Ashgach, Kolomah kishavi lechem tzar kadesha teshuvu and tamar shi keri osif lechem chamas osif keri. So that would seem to be that when a tzar comes, that it's direct Ashgach. It's direct Ashgach. Right? But in the beginning, so why doesn't he say? So then he says, but if they will say that it's just a happening, so then he should say, I raise a kofa bashtachas shalabari. No, he says, I raise a derech achzorius, The Goremus Lemi Dovik Masem Aron. And what is it? It doesn't sound like it's a Der Hazorius, it was into yeah. It sounds like the time is not a bad one, but it's not the right way to, not the right attitude, not the right attitude. And then the Rambam says no. He says that over that point it seems he doesn't hold that it's a direct hashgacha. It seems because he doesn't say it's a kofa bashgacha shalabore, but it's not the proper approach. You see. But then later he says klomer kishavi alechem tzorik kadesh teshuvu and tamer shikari also kachem chamasa shikari. You see.
He says
that it's just it's not the proper attitude. On the other hand, it seems to be that it's false. It's false. So there's nothing worse than being away from the truth, especially in relationship to God. So why does the Rambam say it's not a proper attitude? It's a derech hazorius. No, it's more than derech hazorius. It's wrong. It's false. It's a denial of the principles of the Dosh. Yes.
Is it possible that because these things that are being discussed are situations which do fall into a natural contradiction?
Does everybody understand the contradiction? It's an open contradiction. The Rambam says, he says openly that people, when the tzara occurs, talking about the tzibur, when the tzara occurs, so if people say it's just a chance happening, according to the laws of chance, okay? But the Rambam says that if you say that, he says this is a derech achzorius. The implication is not wrong, could be it's right, but it's not the proper way to do things. So then he quotes a pasuk, he says, and this tzara will lead to more tzara. How do I know this? Because the pasuk says that v'alachtem in mibikeri, v'alachtem in imachem v'chamaskeri. Kloma, tishe'ovi aleichem tzora. When I bring upon you a tzora, a trouble, kadesha teshuvu, in order you should repent, in tomer shikeri, if you're going to say that it's just an occurrence, osif lachem chamasa osakeri, which means to say that then you'll be punished for that, then you'll be punished for that attitude itself. What the Rambam says is that if you maintain that philosophy, you're going to be punished. None of the first sorrow came because you did something wrong. The second sorrow will come because of that philosophy. Hamas also carried. Which means to say, kishyavi alechem tzara, the implication is that God brings upon the klal of tzara in order that they should repent. And it's all hashgacha. It's all hashgacha. It's not outside the hashgacha. Because if it's outside the hashgacha, and you're going to tell me that there can be a phenomenon that occurs outside the hashgacha, so then the Rambam wouldn't be able to say that in every case, Tosef HaTzara, Tzara Sacheros, and bring the Raya from that Pasuk, from V'alachtem Nibikeri, V'alachtem Nibikeri, V'alachtem Gamani Machem B'chamaskeri, it's not true, because maybe God didn't bring on a Tzara in that case. You see, maybe God didn't bring on a Tzara in that case. Too great. It means we're not on the right plane over there. I think what the Rambam means is like this. You see, the Rambam means that they're really, that in Tainus there's a certain philosophy of Tainus. See, Tainus isn't an act of fasting of the body. Tainus, fasting when the body, when we cause our bodies to abstain from food, it really is because of a certain philosophy. It's a philosophy of Yadus. But the fasting is merely a method of bringing ourselves in contact with the ideas. In other words, there are two problems in man. First problem in man is he doesn't have the proper ideas, like the Sadi Gagarin says. I mean, the important thing is that the person should know and have no doubts in his mind about the true ideas. But then there's a second realm in man. Once he has the ideas, there's another problem. It's true he has the ideas, but now the rest of his nature doesn't follow along with the ideas that he has, because he has a part of his nature which is irrational and which constantly tries to avoid certain realizations. There's knowledge and there's realization. Knowledge means he has knowledge of the fact, but the realization is where that knowledge is a part of his makeup, you see. I think the Rambam over here, the Rambam is not talking about knowledge. The Rambam in Hilchos Tainus is talking about the realm of realization. But the Rambam means it like this. Aval im lo yizaku v'lo yoriu ele yomru dover ze mininaga olam ira lona v'tzora zu nikro nikreis. It doesn't mean to say that the people will actually say that. it doesn't mean to say that the people will actually say that way, that they'll, that's what they're going to maintain such a philosophy. If people, if Klal Yisrael would maintain such a philosophy, it's definite fear, there's no question about it. They'll say that every Torah that comes on the nation is Nikra Nikrais. It means it's not under the Ashgachas, it's not under the Ashgachas Hashem El Amo. I mean, it's one of the Yisrael Dos. There's no Ashgacha. There's ain't less being less dying. So what it means is like this. It means that there is in man a certain part of, there is in man in his nature, there is an emotion to deny the fact that he is under the realm of the Ashgacha. You see, there's an emotional desire in man to not to realize, not to recognize the idea that there is a shofei to Aretz and that he's under, that he's living in such a framework. The framework is a very difficult one for a person to accept. And a part of man's nature is to deny that, because acceptance of that causes him certain emotional difficulty, since he's not perfected, you see. So he enjoys denying the fact that an occurrence takes place because of the direct Ashgacha. It means to say that he places himself in such a state of mind. That's what the Ram means. The Ram's like this. If they say that Dovazem Minigolam Yerolano, the Sorozo Zunikronikris, Harezi Derech Achzorius, the Goremes Lamli Dovek Maseyam Oroim. It's not really a philosophy where they enunciate a certain philosophy. Enunciate such a philosophy is pure. But it means to say sometimes a person doesn't enunciate a philosophy, but rather he lives implicitly in a way that he's satisfying a certain emotion which actually is tied to a philosophy. The reason that he does it is because of Achzorius. Achzorius, see, when the Ram says raise it there, Achzorius, it means he's catering to a certain emotional state. And the emotional state is Achzorius because it doesn't want to realize what is actually occurring. It means he doesn't want to be in the framework of being judged, of recognizing the reality of the fact that it's Hashgacha, and that he has to review his actions. He has to do tshuva, he has to review his actions, he's not living properly. You see. That's what the Rambam means. So the Rambam is two types of yomer. Sometimes there's a yomer where a person is talking with his seichel. Sometimes there's a yomer where a person is talking with his emotions. The yomer in the Rambam over here doesn't mean that he's enunciating a logical law. He's enunciating an idea, a concept, a principle. It means that he's living in a certain way. Emotionally, he's assuming such a position. Right. That's what the Ram means. That's what the Ram says is Derech Achzorius. So, and that's why the Ram says Kishem. That's why the Ram says Kishem Shatzibur Misan Al Tarasan Kacha Yochad Misan Al Tarasa. Because the Yochad also. See, you'll notice. Let's take a look before. Ram says before. What's the purpose of the whole Tainus? What's the purpose of it? What's the halacha? There's two things in the Ram over here. There's the halachic, the maisa of the maisa mitzvah, and there's the kiyama mitzvah. Oh, yeah, the maisa mitzvah, kiyama mitzvah, two different things. Because what's the maisa mitzvah? The maisa mitzvah, the Rambam enunciates in halachala. Maisa mitzvah is lizo v'loriya v'chatzotros. I'll call it tzotzotelo. And for the yochid, it means tainus. Alright? So he has to, so he requires zaka. Then it says, v'dovazem idake atshuvahu, Shabizman Shatava Tsar of Izgolav Yuriel Yedo Kol Shabiglama Sam Arayim Hurulahem to Kasa and Sechem Hidu, Vizel Shi Yigrom Lahasir Atsara Mealayan. What actually removes the Tsara? It's an interesting thing. What removes the Tsara is not the Tfila. In other words, the Maisa HaMitzvah is Zaka, is Tfila and Chatzai Tfila. Zaka, the Maisa HaMitzvah is Zaka and Lahariya Bachatzai Tfila. That's the Maisa HaMitzvah. But the Maisa HaMitzvah isn't effective. It would seem from the Rambam that why is the Tzara removed? The Tzara is not removed because they were mispowel. See, the Rambam should say the Dov is in Daka Tshuva and it's in Daka Tshuva, fine. But he shouldn't say Vizehu Shi Yigram Lahasir Atzar Me'alayim, that that's
What causes the removal of the tzara? You told me to pray to God, so I should remove the tzara. Now, what causes the removal of the tzara? Not the prayer. The Rambam doesn't say it's the tefillah. The Rambam says, because yedu hakol shebiglal maaseim haroim hura lahem kakosuv v'zeu sheyivim lahasar tomer lahem. So what removes the tzara? Well, removes the tzara is the attitude. The knowledge that they recognize that the reason why the tzara came is because of maaseim haroim. Because of the responsibility to their own way of life. For their own way of life, you see. So it's an interesting Rambam. So it comes out that the Maisa HaMitzvah is really the Zaka. But what actually is the Kiyam HaMitzvah? The Kiyam HaMitzvah is the fact that since they do engage in Tfila, and they do engage in Zaka. So what does that show? So then everybody recognizes when people see that they're engaging in Zaka and Tfila, so people see that the reason why this occurred is because of Maaseh HaRoim, and that they have to do tshuva. So actually, and what removes the tzara? That's what removes the tzara. So it comes out it's not the tefillah that removes the tzara. But what removes the tzara basically is the recognition that takes place via the institution of tefillah. Tefillah is only a means for the recognition. And what removes the tzara is the recognition, the philosophical attitude that they assume after the Maisa HaMitzvah. Here's where you see clearly the difference between the Maisa HaMitzvah, the action, and the Kiyam HaMitzvah. The fulfillment really takes place through the fact that they recognize the Glal Maaseim HaRoim, not Tefillah. If they just stopped the Tefillah, there'd be no Kiyam HaMitzvah. If they were just Mespal, there'd be nothing. The Tefillah caused them to recognize as the Glal Maaseim HaRoim, and that's the Kiyam. So you see that Tainis, the Halacha is that the Zaka. Of course, Tainis is Midrabanan. Midaraisa, there's no halacha of Tainis. Midaraisa is Zaka. Midaraisa is Zaka. So Midrabanan, Midivre Sofim, Lesanas, Al Kaltzara, Shetel, Al Tzibor. Achiruchom, and Hashemayim. So Tainis is Midrabanan. But Tainis, Midrabanan, is an extension of Tfilah. It's not a new thing. They didn't come up with a new concept of Tainis. But Tainis is an extension of Tfilah. So you see that the whole concept of Tainis, the whole purpose of Tainis, is really one thing. It's really that it's actually Tainis teaches us a certain attitude towards reality. It's an attitude towards reality. It's a philosophy towards reality. Philosophy of reality. A certain attitude of the soul. I shouldn't say so much philosophy, because philosophy implies more intellectual. But it's an attitude of the person towards reality. The attitude towards reality is that Ashgachas HaBorei, that's why even by Yochad itself. Because it's not dependent upon the question of whether in this particular instance it was the Ashgach or not. It's dependent upon the question. It means that there's a chiyuv when a tzara occurs, that a person must put himself in the frame of mind of the Ashgach. There's a frame of mind that a person has that he recognizes, he sees reality as being under the framework of the Ashgach, and he understands that there's a dying ha'olam and is responsible for his actions, and there's a framework where a person emotionally wants to negate the whole responsibility. It's a framework of prikas ol. It's a different kind of an emotional framework. The mitzvah that a person's chayef to do, whether it's yachad or whether it's sibor, the mitzvah is to realize the framework, the true framework of reality, that there is a borei olam, and that a person is responsible for his actions, and his actions could lead to his downfall. You see? It's a recognition, it's a certain attitude towards reality. That's really what Tainus is, basically. Tainus is the enactment of a certain attitude that a person must have towards reality and towards tzoras and towards whatever may be fallen. And it's a chiyuv on the yachid, just like it's a chiyuv on the tzibur. It's a chiyuv on both. So that's basically what the halacha that's basically halacha tainus. Halacha tainus, yeah. Because what it says is achzoris. What it means is that emotionally a person is subject to denial. That's his nature. He wishes to deny in other words. It's a pasuk in Tehillas. We're Tehillas. Al tiboil mipanav telech. Al tiboil mipanav telech. Take a look.
in Kehelas. The third pasuk.
That's
Gimel. In the third pasuk, it says like this. It says, Ani pi melech, second pasuk is Ani pi melech shemar. Ani pi melech shemar. What does Ani pi melech shemar mean? Ani pi melech shemar means that it means that he accepts upon himself the laws of God. That's what it means. Ani pi melech shemar. Then it says, Alti boel mi panav telech. Alti boel mi panav telech means that a person should not. You see, Rashi is like this. Rashi says, "Alti niva lomar shatelech v'tivrach mipanav l'makom she'ino shalit sham." A person shouldn't say that he's going to run away to a place where God doesn't rule. You see, shebechol makom shalit. What does it mean? Of course, a person who's nonsensical is going to run away to a place where God doesn't rule. What kind of doesn't make any sense? It's not talking to a child. He's giving advice to an adult. So an intelligent person. What does it mean? It means to say that there is within man's nature such an emotion. There is within man's nature an emotion that he wishes to deny the system of the Avgacha, the existence of God, and the fact that he's responsible for his actions, and he wishes to escape from that type of from that type of realization, you see. And that's what Tainus is. Tainus is the situation where a person forces himself to come face to face with that realization of Avgacha Hashem. And when is he mechuyif to do it? You can't turn him mechayif to do it every minute because our nature is weak and we can't do that. But the Torah is mechayif a person to do that in certain instances. When a tzara befalls the tzibur or when a tzara befalls the individual. That's when he must involve himself in such a frame of mind. You see? That's essentially the halacha of tainus, that's the kiyum of tainus. The tainus isn't just a maisa tainus, but tainus is really the living through of a certain philosophical concept. And if a person doesn't do that, it's derech achzarius. It means he's catering to his emotion that wishes to be insensitive to the reality and to deny such a phenomenon. That's the that's the mitzvah of tainus. Yeah. There isn't that Rambam a logical difficulty. There isn't that Rambam a logical difficulty. Because somebody will say like this, they'll say it's circular reasoning. Why? Because the Rambam, the Torah, tells me to pray to God. Why should it? Now what does prayer mean? Prayer means that I'm asking God to remove the Torah. Now if I'm asking God to remove the Torah, it must mean ipso facto that I believe that my prayer can be effective. Otherwise, what am I praying for? You see? But in fact, the prayer isn't effective. In fact, it's only a result of the fact that I pray, that I recognize that it occurred because of my bad meisim. That's what really removes the tzara. So it's circular reasoning. It's an impossibility. How could I bring about such a state? How is it possible to say such a thing? You understand what I mean? You're telling me to pray to remove the tzara. But now you're telling me that the prayer will not remove the tzara. It's only because I'm praying that now I come to a certain realization that will remove the tzara. But how do I pray then? Circular. You understand what I mean? It's impossible to get started. I should pray in order to remove the Torah, but the prayer is not going to remove the Torah. What will remove it? If I pray, then I'll realize. But how can I pray? The prayer itself is ineffective.
Yeah, I think that the prayer is not really
effective.
That's true.
Yeah, but it has to be capable of being effective. It has to be capable of being effective.
It
has to be what?
You're
saying prayer itself is not effective.
You're saying what you're saying is
right.
The end of that prayer is not.
Right.
You just explain why. Yeah. Until you do the actual tefillah.
That's hilarious. The answer is, we one time mentioned, we said tefillah really...
Wait, it's not on.
No, it's on. Tefillah really is not an action. Tefillah is more than an action. See, tefillah, there are certain things that I do because of a conscious action. I say, now I will be misfollowed. That means that tefillah is a maisa tefillah. Tefillah is more than a maisa. One time I mentioned this. We said tefillah really results naturally from a certain realization, a certain attitude of the soul. When a person realizes that he's totally dependent upon God, it is a natural response that he should be mispalel. That's why the verb is mispalel. Mispalel is reflexive. It means that the gavra is involved in a certain state.
tefillah is really a state. It's more than just an action. It's more than a calculated action. If a person says to himself, I am going to daven now because of a certain, I want to achieve a certain goal. His tefillah is lacking. His tefillah is lacking. Tefillah is a certain state of the human soul. When it comes from a certain realization of his dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a natural thing that he has to be misfollowed. It's not a calculated action. It's something which results. It's a state of mind. It's not an action. It's a state. One time mentioned this before. From this Rambam, you have a proof that such is the case, because the chiyuv is to be misfollowed. What does it mean? It means the chiyuv is to place oneself in a certain frame of mind. In that frame of mind, the person is automatically misfollowed. It's an automatic process. Tefillah is an automatic process. If a tefillah is calculated, there's something lacking in the person's tefillah. The person says, I'm going to misfall, I want to effectuate a certain cause, that's why I'm going to pray to God, then it's lacking. Praying to God is a natural state that comes about, that a person is a misfollow when he realizes that his whole life depends upon God, and his whole existence depends upon God, and he has the ability to ask God for something. It's a natural result. So there's tefillah as a maisa tefillah, but there's also tefillah which is a tefillah which results from the state of the human soul. So the over here, the halacha merarises to be mispala. Mispala means to place yourself in that state. Then he's naturally mispala for the tefillah. He has to be mispala for the tefillah. But the benefit of the tefillah is not just that state of being a mispala. It's more than that. The state of being mispala is fine, but that's not going to remove the tzara. What removes the tzara is the fact that through the medium of tefillah, the recognition occurs. The tefillah is a means. Tefillah is a means to bring a person to the recognition that Biglal Maisa Varoyim Irola Kachatah, because of his Maisa Varoyim. Once he comes to that realization, then the tzar is removed. But that's basically the answer around. Yes?
It
would
help to have somebody who is parallel to you. Good question.
You have to help with somebody else in this problem. Shouldn't be misbal for something. Yeah, he should. Of course he should. He's mechoyf misbal for something. But what I'm saying is that there's more, that there's something more in tefillah than simply a calculated action. There's something. There's another element in tefillah. There's another element in tefillah. But I'm not saying that a person shouldn't be misbal for the purpose of accomplishing something. If I ask somebody else to be misbal for me, if I ask your question, if I ask somebody else to misfollow for me, how can it be effective? I mean, how could it be effective? I'm not saying that it can't be effective. The reason why it's effective, if somebody else is misfollow for me, the reason why it's effective is because of his tefillah. Because of his tefillah. Like Moshe Rabbeinu's powerful Klal Yisrael. In other words, if I want to bring about a certain change, so of course I have to employ tefillah. And I should employ any means I can to bring about the change. If somebody else is misfollowed from me, I'm permitted to employ that medium. But the reason why it's effective is not because of me, it's because of his tefillah, because of the other person's tefillah. But over here there's a chiyuv misfollow. I'm not denying the fact that a person should be misfollowed in order to bring about a certain change. Saying that, of course, like the Gemara is quoted, that a person is followed for somebody, it means he's only tefillah in order to bring about that change. There's no question about it. When the Chazal is followed for somebody, they is followed because they wanted to bring about the change. But tefillah is more than that. When a person's in the state of being a misfollow, it's more than just that he's thinking consciously, I'm doing this action in order to, the initiation of tefillah could be for that purpose. I can initiate a tefillah for a certain purpose. But there is a state of being a misfollow. Over here, the initiation of the tefillah is not to remove the tzara. The initiation of the tefillah is because of the chiyuv misfollow. You see? The machayev, there's a lot of machayev to the misfollow. Where I initiate a tefillah for a certain purpose, of course. I'm not denying that there's an initiation of tefillah because of bring about a change. Certainly, that is true. There is such a phenomenon. But when a person is in fact a misfollow, then he's in a different state. He's in a totally different state. He's not anymore doing calculated action. And over here, the initiation of the tefillah is not to remove the tzar. It's a chiyuv deraisa. It's chayav lizek al-ariyah. The initiation of tefillah is because of the chiyuv deraisa. Ram doesn't say Yish Mispal to remove the Torah. Say Yish Mispal because the Chivim and the Torah didn't Mispal. There's just one more thing I want to mention about Tainus. But there's another. See, I always feel that the reason why certain things, certain mitzvahs really are not too successful, are not matzliach. Because, and the reason is, many times, because we just don't understand it, and because it goes against something in our emotional makeup, so we fail to understand we don't have the knowledge of what the benefit of the mitzvah is. Tainus is one of the things that people just look upon it as a burden. They don't look forward to it. But really, if a person would recognize the gain that he has from the tainus, he would look forward to it, just like any other mitzvah. Alright? One is an interesting Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas is Achi Zayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara says that Rav Sheshis, when he fasted, so he used to say like this, the Gemara says, Rav Sheshis Kavi Yosef the Taniso, Rav Sheshis when he was fasting, Basa the Matzli Amahachel. After he davened, he said this. Ribbono Olam and Golu Lefanecha Bezman Shebeis Hamikdash Kayam Odom Chotei Umakriv Korban Vein Makriv Mimenu Alachel Bov Adamo Umeschapa Lo. Then in the time Beis Hamikdash, the person made a korban, and what would the kohen do? He'd take the chelov and the dam, and he'd be makriv it, and he'd take kapara. V'achshav Yeshavti Betanis, and now I was fasting. V'nismait Chel Bivadomi, and my blood and my fat has been diminished. Should be used like a carbon. So what is the what? And it's a halacha really in Hilchos Tainus. It's mentioned that when a person is Yoshev the Tainus, he should say this Yiratzin. It's talking about, I believe it's talking about a Tainus Yafi. But at any rate, it's not out, but it mentions it. That when a person is Yeshiv Tainus, that he should say this Yerushalayim. Okay?
What is the concept, though? What is the concept? What is the concept that says Domi, Maya, Domi, Vechelbi, I mean, that should be like a cup? It's in Kafkot Samachay, it says Dalit. Tov lam betachnun shachat tfilas amincha Tov lam alakana tzor Yibon kolom gol yudu lefenecha shizman shbesh mish kayam bat lechad imak v'kodim and etc. Vuchola. That's the lesson from over there, from the Gemara in Brach. What is that concept? What is this? What's the idea of... it's an interesting thing. Also, he throws light on the idea of kodim. On the idea of kodim. Mismayet chelbo v'damo. What does it mean? It means, says, it means that there's a certain part of man, a certain part of man's nature is a big part of his emotions are narcissistic emotions. Narcissistic emotions means that he's preoccupied with his own body physically, with his physical self. There's a constant preoccupation, a constant source of energy that are going towards the self. And these sources of energy that are going towards the self are really a removal. Actually, these energies should be diverted towards Chochmas Hashem, towards Torah. But there's a certain innate part of man, a certain narcissistic energy, which is constantly over-concerned with an individual's self, with his physical self, you see. And that's why one of the kiyumim of the tainus is that he's makriv domo v'chelbo. Domo v'chelbo means that it's a break of his narcissistic self, break of the narcissistic emotion. That's the hirata. And carbon is also the same thing. The carbon also is a break of the narcissist. Yeah, because he has to bring the carbon. That's all Maisa Kayan Hevel. But he couldn't bring the good, the best of his crops. Because Kayan couldn't do it. Because it's a break of his narcissistic self-love. So there's a key. So that's the halacha of time. Tainus is a special thing. It's Dukkah person gives it Mamona. Mamona is not Gufo. And kindness is gufo. Gufo is more directly related to the self. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that a person can take all kinds of tzaras, but the worst tzaras is physical. When it comes to the self, that's the ultimate. Because why? Because that's where the emotions really reside, basically, in the self. So one of the kiyumim of kindness is a kiyum of domo v'chmatis, domo v'chobo. It's a breach of the narcissistic self-love, the emotion that's attached to the physical self. They realize the money is a means for learning, because it means free time. It means time. So that's why it's more than gufam. Usually it's the other way around. People, the normal person likes his guf more than his mother. That's good for himself, because he's just involved in narcissistic emotion. But Talmud Chacham's self is really Talmud Torah. And that's why that's more important even in his guf. He doesn't have. That's a raya on the contrary. The raya that when it says Talmud Chacham and the Monom Chacham and the Gufam shows that he has less narcissistic will be Talmud Chacham. Because Talmud Chacham doesn't care about his guf so much. The money's more important. Why is the money more important? Because the money means time. It means time for him to learn. That's the most important. Yes.
Kohelas, it's February 8th, 1987.
Yes,
overall. Where were
you? Oh, it's in the Chesed.
Chesed.
The person who keeps the mitzvah, keeps mitzvahs, will not know of any evil. Then he says, the Esu Mishpat Yedalev Chacham. And of time and justice, the heart of the Chacham will know. And the next part goes together with this one. That says, "Kibachol chayfet yesh esim mishpat." For everything, there is a time and a judgment. Kira sa'odam rabalav, because the evil of man is very great upon him. All right. The Shalom Mitzvah, basically from here, goes. It goes. It's like one thing until
this time you should switch to Kohelis 8 to resume this year.